Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, you kind of have that vibe of a worship guy. You're looking good. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Pastor Ron, thank you. Thank you, Lynette. Thanks for having me. Thanks, everyone. Wow, just good to be here. Just what a great spirit, just a spirit of unity. That was the band when they were praying beforehand. That was one of their, they put their hands in after they prayed and they said, what's our word? And they said, unity, one, two, three, unity. And you really kind of can feel the answer to that prayer in this place. It's just really as an outsider coming in, you just feel like this is a family. This is beautiful. So every nation church, I'm from the nation of New Jersey. Anybody else from Jersey? Hey, forget about it. Back in the day, that's the old line, right? So, yeah, you from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. What exit? You ever do that one? So we were, my wife and I were both born off of exit 4 on the turnpike, you know, and Camden, New Jersey. Can anything good come? Anyway. It was the only Catholic hospital in Jersey, you know, in that part of the city. So everybody, if you were Catholic. And so we were raised, my wife and I, born and raised in just outside of Camden, sort of South Jersey, Philadelphia area. That was kind of the Philadelphia culture. If you've ever seen like Rocky, you ever seen, yo, Adrian, yo, forget about it. Hey, Paulie. You know what I mean? It was that kind of a culture, believe it or not. Anyway, grew up kind of in a sincere Catholic home and, you know, altar boy and Catholic school. And really, you know, what I'm thankful for is at least it put a sense of mystery in my heart for the Lord. I did, like, grow up to at least appreciate this sense of, wow, like, God is awesome. He's a mystery, but I never really had a relationship with him. So all through high school, was in a bunch of rock bands, used to play, like, at the Jersey Shore. Club bands, you know, that was back, if you've ever heard of a guy named Bruce Springsteen, it was kind of in those days, and so we all kind of like knew somebody that knows a guy, know a guy that knows a guy that knows somebody that's a roadie for Bruce Springsteen, so we're practically friends, you know, and we always thought, yeah, that's going to be, you know, we're almost there, so man, we would just play those clubs and got into just a crazy lifestyle, though. A lot of things that I won't mention, but just bad stuff. And my heart of hearts, I knew better. And so I didn't know any better. I'd wake up, we'd play from 10 to 4 in the morning, sleep till noon. I'd get up, and after, by the end of that summer at the shore, I just was miserable and thought. And I would just walk to this little Catholic church in Ocean City, New Jersey, and sit in the back pew because that's all I knew. And I feel like God heard my heart. And wasn't long after that I started meeting some people that were my age that were talking about Jesus like he was real. Remember the first time, even just hearing the woman that just shared, you know, her testimony. Just what a thing that is, like, huh? How can, you're like 18 years old and people are talking about Jesus just like it's normal. Like, and I'm like, what's that all about? And they were reading, they'd read the Bible. And then they had these little Bible studies, and they would teach the Bible to each other. It was, like, amazing. And so within a few months, man, I went to one of their, some conference, and it was like a Billy Graham moment, you know, where somebody gave his testimony, called you up, and I gave my heart to the Lord. My older brother came to the Lord. My other older brother came to the Lord. We just got, I think the Lord was just, this was 1980. So, yeah, we all got born again. I mean, we came home from that weekend. It's also the first time I heard Christian music. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. And that, of course, everybody thought we were in a cult or something. Because they're like, well, yeah, well, Jesus, yeah, well, we're Catholic. We believe in Jesus, too. I'm like, no, but this is, you don't get it, da-da-da. So, but that began the journey. That was also the first time I heard Christian music. I'd never heard. I've just grown up with rock and roll and Bill Withers, you know, and that was good, by the way. Man, the worship team, such a great job this morning. Thank you. I mean it. I mean it. I've led worship, you know, a bunch of years, and it's just always a blessing to me to come into a building, and I don't know what songs we're doing. I don't know if they're going to modulate. And it's like, it feels good to be led well in worship. And you just do a good job of leading, you know? Thank you. So anyway, real quick, I'm you know, what's this have to do with David? Sorry, I'm just like, it's like a virtual handshake, just because you're like, well, who's this guy? So this is my 5-minute testimony, so thanks for hanging in there. You know, I never heard Christian music. We found this AM radio station that played music about God, and it was like rock music. I was like, that's amazing. How do you do that? Where do you find that? So ended up moving to California, went to a music school, met some Christian artists, started playing guitar for some of them. Glean, like people like Kelly Willard. Do you remember Kelly Willard and Lenny LeBlanc and a lot of the Maranatha music? And so yeah, it was just a blessing. God just allowed me to sort of come alongside some really gifted people who were humble and whose heart were toward the Lord. They were the real deal. And just to serve their ministries. And then I moved to Muscle Shoals, Alabama. That's a pretty good music town, if you know anything about Muscle Shoals. And so all the time, just being around people who were really gifted in taking scripture and taking the word of God and putting it into song so that others could sing. And then I came back to Jersey. I married my wife, she was like a Joni Mitchell clone. Back in the day, if you know Joni Mitchell. Long blonde hair, guitar tuned, all really crazy, some strange tuning, and she was just amazing. And long story, she had the same born-again experience. She was living with a guy at the Jersey Shore writing country music. She had a cut with Reba McEntire and blah, blah, blah. And I met her. I just played on a demo of one of their songs. Well, a few months later, her boyfriend said, look, I got to go to church. My parents go to this Assembly of God church. So we have to go for Christmas. Sorry. So they go, and she gets born again. Boom. And she's like, yeah, we shouldn't be living together. Yeah. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't part of the plan here. So she was just radically changed. And then the next time I saw her, I was like, you too? Me too. And so we became friends. Better friends, better friends, better friends, and then eventually we married. We ended up moving down to East Texas after a year in Jersey. We moved down to a place called Last Days Ministries, okay? If you ever heard of Keith Green, that book called No Compromise, if you've never read it, write that down and put that on your must-read list. And, you know, we went down there. They said, come on down, and we're going to tour, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And we went down, and we ended up mostly mowing lawns and babysitting. But God taught us to serve other people's ministries. You know, it was such a valuable lesson in that. And we began to plug into that local church and met, you know, that's where it's mutual friends. With Ron and I have mutual friends with Ron Luce, Team Mania moved down there. Mercy Ships, just so many other amazing ministry, YWAM, a lot of missions organizations. So blah, 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 little did we know we'd end up spending 26 years there. And we were in this like YWAM type missions church, if you will. It was the community church for all these ministries, and began to just lead worship there. I was just beginning to lead. I didn't know how to really lead. I was more of a guitarist and was put on the spot, and because I didn't know how to lead, then that kind of gets me back into David, because going into the scriptures, I'm like, you know, I didn't go to worship leading school, I just had a lot of practical experience and was growing in the Lord, but didn't really know how to quote-unquote lead. So getting around prayer, there was such an emphasis on prayer in that church, and praying the scriptures, and so going through the Word of God from beginning to end, every time the word worship was mentioned and just doing word studies. Back in the day, they had these big, thick books called Thompson Chain Reference books. I don't know if you remember those. You could do a word study, and it was just like, anyway, I guess you can do it on the internet, too. Anyway, did I leave anything out? My point is, yeah, so we ended up staying here 26 years. We had 3 kids, and now we have 3 grandkids, I'm going to say, because my daughter is due this week with our 3rd grandchild. So, so the Lord is good. So during that time, while we were there, we had a little room behind the platform in this little metal building, and we turned it into a little studio as best as we could, and we would meet there every day, pretty much, me and the keyboard player, and we would just try to write songs for our church. We would take sermons that our pastor preached from the week before. We would take sermons or ideas that he was going to be preaching, a series coming up, and we would just get into the Word of God and try to write songs for our church. And we wrote hundreds of bad songs, just so many bad songs that we thought were good at the time. We thought they were good, but that's what you got to do, you know, as you know. You just, So that's why. And then after about 4 years ago, two of our grown kids moved to New York City. They were teaching. One was teaching in Queens. One was teaching at a boys' school in Manhattan. And so we ended up moving here, sold everything in Texas. We live in, 800 square feet now. It's easy to have a four-bedroom house in Texas. It's very easy. Then you come to New York, you're like, wow, 800 square feet. Okay. As you know, it's crazy. Pretty much had to give away and sell everything. All right, so let's look at David. Let's look at David here. Thank you, Lord. I want to focus. There's so many things we could focus in on about David. And I know Pastor Ron is kind of, you could take a whole year teaching just on David. So David the psalmist, David the songwriter, basically. Psalms, when you read the book of Psalms, you know they're not, it's not really poetry. Psalms means songs. So it's actually a songbook. And I know as I was leaving the house this morning, I had this on my piano and I thought, the book of Psalms is kind of like, forgive me, but it's kind of like this was a songbook, one of many on my piano. And this is a John Mayer songbook. So, you know, it's got lyrics, it has chords and melodies, and that's what the Psalms were. The Psalms were not intended to be spoken, per se, or just read, merely read, but they were meant to be sung. So it's a beautiful thing, and I'm going to try to, you know, with the time we have, I just want to barely glean on the very beginnings. Let's look at 1 Samuel, if you have a Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 14. Look at that real quick. Casket is empty. That's good. Amen. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. I don't know why that's there, but maybe that's just a reminder that there's an empty tomb. He is risen. So, all right, let's move on here. So let's look at this verse together. We'll read it together. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. Saul was the king at the time. An evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. We'll keep on. We'll just kind of read this together. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre," or the lyre, the lyre, which is basically a guitar. Just think guitar. The Lord commanded his servants, "Search someone who can play the guitar. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." Now that's a good point. Find someone who plays well. Find someone who plays well. Note to self, like if you're, whatever you're called to do, strive to do it well. Amen? You know? Like even worship teams, I appreciate it once again how you led us well. It's not like, oh, we don't need to rehearse. We're just going to just trust the Lord that he's going to bless whatever we do. No, they were in tune. They were in time. They had rehearsed. And it helped us, right? It helped us. I don't know about you, but as we're singing those few choruses, it's like already my spirit's lifted. Just you can imagine Saul was experiencing this kind of thing with David, like, or ultimately, this is what's going to happen. So let's carry on here. Next verse. I've seen the son of Jesse down in Bethlehem, and knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior, and he speaks well. He's a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. Wow, that's all that matters. Is the Lord with May the Lord be with you, right? That's like in some of these Anglican churches, they say. My two kids go to what I call a hipster Anglican church in the city. Shh. I'm not putting that down, but they say that often. I do love that. And they just look at one another and say, the Lord be with you and also with you, right? That's good. We can say that, whatever stream we're in the body of Christ. All right, so Saul sent messengers, send me your son David, who's with the sheep, and goes on, Jesse took the donkey, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to just fast forward down to verse 23. Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre. How do you say it, Ron?
Guitar.
I just like, you know, it's basically a guitar. I've seen a lyre and it just has more strings, but actually there's a verse in the Psalms that says, praise him on the 10-string lyre. And so I've always imagined a 12-string guitar with two broken strings. Huh? Ba-dum, psh. Ba-dum, psh. All right. So anyway, whenever that spirit of depression and oppression and somehow I can't even go there. Maybe Ron will shed some light on that someday. But, you know, how the Lord was kind of tormenting Saul in some ways, you know, just however, whenever that spirit of depression, discouragement, oppression came upon Saul, David would take up his guitar and play, and then relief would come to Saul. You know, how many times have you and I ever put on worship music, or you've been in a situation, you come to church and you're just discouraged, and you walk in here and you're like, hi, and you put your best face on and you shake hands, but you're just inside, you're really struggling. And then as the band begins to, that keyboard pad, you know, sometimes you hear, I don't know if this is on, but you know. Just something as simple as that, with the Spirit of God in the room, all of a sudden, something begins to change. Has that ever happened to you? How many times? Hundreds of times, right? For me, hundreds. Hundreds of times, even leading worship. As a worship leader, hundreds and hundreds of times. Well, I led hundreds of times, but like, you know, maybe 10% of the time where I've had the lead and I've just struggled with something that particular week. And yet I still had to get up on a Sunday morning and say, good morning, praise God, let's stand together and worship God. And yet in my heart, I'm like, this has been such a hard week. But I didn't want to project that on the entire congregation. But I would find that, man, just playing that first chord, and then I'm just beginning to play the intro to that song, man, I would just sense the presence of the Lord. Just begin to wash away that discouragement and that depression. Let's say, man, let's lift our voice to the Lord this morning. And boom, by the middle of that first song, I was just like, I'm so glad I came today, you know. So that's good. Let's move on to 1 Chronicles 15. So that's when David was a young boy. A lot of stuff happens in his life up to this point. Now, 1 Chronicles 15, he says, after David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. So this is before the tabernacle. This is the tent of meeting, okay? And then it says, David said, no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. So just that concept, I want to lock that into your mind. Minister to the Lord, because the ark of the Lord was where the presence of God, excuse the reference, but you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you remember that back in the day? Basically, it was like the presence of God, the tablets of stone were in the ark, and that's where the presence of God. Now we are in a completely New Testament, new covenant, new agreement, and the tent, where is the presence of God? Is it in a box somewhere? No, the Apostle Paul said, know ye not, Bruce, King James? We had a talk about King James. Know ye not? I love little old English there. Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God? You. Hey, that's one of those moments. I'm not a preacher usually, but feels like one of those moments where you turn to somebody and say, you are the temple of the living God. Tell somebody, go ahead. It's not funny, but it's funny for me because I never get to do that. Like, turn to your neighbor and say, that's such a preacher thing, you know? Like, yeah. You are the temple of the living God, and you know, the Apostle Paul, of course, reminds us that he has put his treasure in these jars of clay, in these earthen vessels. He has put his spirit, his those who call Jesus Christ their Lord. So, moving on, so I just wanted to plant that seed that David had this idea from the Lord to appoint a certain group to minister before the Lord, okay? So now let's go to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, they brought the ark of God and sat it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed, this is the verse that really stands out. So he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. And what does that mean? So to extol, to thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So their job description, you know, they're like, if you were on LinkedIn or you're looking for a job here in New York City and you're like, oh, here's a job for a Levite. And they're looking for someone who will minister before the ark of the Lord. And the my job description will be to extol, to thank, and to praise the Lord. You know, like, what a job that is. Pretty awesome. So in other translations, it's great to take that 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4, and go to Bible Hub and, like, just do a look at a lot of the various translations. There's one translation I like in particular. It says, they would give thanks, praise the Lord, and pronounce a blessing over the people. Another one says, they would give thanks, praise the Lord, and pray petitions. So I love that idea that they would come into a room, minister before the ark of the Lord, and they would give thanks to him. Oh, thank you, Lord. They would begin to praise him just like we did this morning, and then pray petitions. They would begin to pray and ask God, God, we pray. We pronounce blessing over the people. We pronounce just like you did this morning. You're just praying for the city of New York, you know, just that spirit. That's really what I want to zero in on. There's so many aspects of David's life we could zero in on, but I love the fact that he had such a heart to honor the Lord, to bless the Lord, to thank the Lord in every possible way. And there's a scripture that we won't go to, but he talks about he provided instruments. He provided instruments for the Levites, for them to, like, and of course, if you've read Psalm 150, we know there's drums and there's horns and trumpets and stringed instruments. I mean, basically, if David was alive here now, it would be everything from classical music to rap music to and everything in between. It would just, can you imagine that? So, but ministry to the Lord, that's a phrase that if you're a note taker, just write that down, because no longer do we have the ark, as we said. We get to minister to the Lord. So even when we come in here on a Sunday morning or midweek, whenever, as often as we gather, we, like the Levites, can bring a sacrifice of praise, right? Because I want some application here. I don't want just a history lesson on David. We can get inspiration from David's life, but I want, how does this relate to me and you? Well, just this mentality of, it was in David's heart thousands of years ago before they even had the temple. Well, let's create in the meantime, we'll make this tent, and we'll do this tent, and we want you guys, this is your job. You guys will be the gatekeepers, you'll be the ushers, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to prepare the food, and then this group, we want you, your job is going to be to give thanks, praise the Lord, petitions, and pronounce a blessing over the people. So I just love that idea of ministry to the Lord. And a quick New Testament example is when, the story in Luke 10 where Mary and Martha are you know, Jesus is in Mary and Martha's house, or like apartment. Imagine like in a New York apartment somewhere in Queens or something. And, you know, there's Martha in the kitchen. It's hot. It's August in New York City, no air conditioning. And then meanwhile, there's Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it's a beautiful picture of ministry to the Lord. The Lord doesn't like chastise Martha so much as just say, hey, Martha, Martha, you're distracted. He says you are, it's by all your distractions. You're basically distracted from what really should be happening, that Mary in this moment has chosen the better part. And the better part, when you read that scripture, is like she's at his feet, she's listening to his words, like being in the word, her heart is fixed on him. She's in the moment, she's relational, whereas Martha, like a lot of us, is busy, busy, busy doing stuff. Oh, that's it. Martha, you are busy with so many distractions, one translation says. All right, back to David. How you doing, all right? Okay. So ministry to the Lord, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And so going back to, if you'll allow me, just when I was this young worship leader guy in East Texas saying, Lord, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I began to read through the scripture. That was an area of scripture that really was life-changing and life-sustaining for the last 25 years in the same church, same neighborhood, like through some church splits, and then we'd all come back together again, and then some of these people, we didn't like the color of the carpet, or for whatever reason, they left, and then these people would leave, and that, you know, just through the ups and downs of church life, man, going through weddings with people, going through maybe their parents dying or someone close in their family dying. So going through the ups and downs, the hardships, the celebrations, babies being born, people dying, you know, just so anyway. But that's church. And my wife and I just at the time just felt like, well, we're not going to hop around everywhere. We just felt like we decided we're going to do life with these people. And that's why those care connect groups are so important. Because, you know, this is awesome that you gather each week and you get to see one another and you have a celebration. But, man, you need a better connection than that. You got to connect during the week. And men, like the men's prayer thing coming up, you know, in 2 weeks, just on a Saturday. Like, show up, man. Men need relationship. They need a connection. The temptation for all of us, especially in New York, is just withdrawal. That's our default, isn't it? We just kind of withdraw. Nobody will really know because you can be anonymous in this city so easily. That's not a healthy place to be. So anyway, beautiful. Just stay connected. And that's why we hung in there. Even when like some people were leaving, we had a core group of people that we just loved. And we're like, we're doing life with these people. And until God says go, we're here. So maybe you feel that way too. Is there a mic stand possibly? Or if I could grow a third arm, that would be good. Because I'm just going to pick up a guitar for a second and just kind of give you a quick examples of what I'm, this ministry to the Lord thing. Thanks. Okay, so let's turn to, Psalm. Think about the Psalms here. So David wrote this songbook. They were meant to be sung. And so for years, this was a practice, and it's not just, thank you. Thanks a lot, man. What if I use, check one, two. Hey, that's interesting. Check. This one sounds better maybe, huh? Is that okay? I guess it, is that all right? All right, cool. Anyway, so you can imagine David. This was something he cultivated as a young man when he was a shepherd boy. We know that part of David, right? Where he's out. What else are you going to do? You're in the middle of the desert. You're watching sheep. There's no cable. There's no smartphones. Like, what are you going to do? So what a great opportunity to, like, bring your little guitar, and you're sitting under the stars, and... perfect environment to write songs to the Lord. And he's looking up at the stars and just going, you know, when I consider the heavens, who is man that thou art mindful of him? And maybe he was lonely, you know, at different times and just thinking. And so he writes in Psalm 42, you know, why so downcast, O my soul? God, come on, soul, why so downcast? Remember the old one, Ron? It was, why so downcast, oh, my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. You know, it's like, why so downcast, oh, my soul? Come on, begin to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He's the lifter of your countenance. You just imagine David just walking, just by himself in the field. Nobody can hear him. Hey, maybe an echo. And so I began to practice this in our little church in Texas. A couple times a week, we just go into the sanctuary, turn on the PA system while nobody was there, because I just thought, I got to do this privately. If I'm going to do this publicly, I don't want to be a phony on Sundays. And like, I want to try to do this like privately like David did. And so we'll just open up the Psalms and just begin to put a melody to some of those things. So instead of reading, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul answer the, that's fine, but you could also, like somebody did years ago, right? As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Remember that? You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. I mean, of course, that's probably not the melody that David had by any means. But the fact is, this idea of taking scripture on the written page, a way to get it off the page and into your heart, is to begin as you read it. So I can't help but like give you homework, give you an application. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, that was interesting. Or that wasn't very interesting. But this ministry to the Lord, carve out time. You can do this in your living room. You know, I do this often, actually, in our little apartment, because it's an apartment. You know, you feel like you're... If I sing too loud, I'm going to interrupt maybe the guy next to me. If I look out and, oh, yeah, he's home. So if I raise my voice, I feel like, oh, man, I don't want to bum out. So I go up to the very top of our apartment complex where the elevator room is, and it's like nobody goes there, nobody, unless the elevator breaks. So you go in there, and it's like super loud. It's like this constant, like the roar of an engine. But nobody's ever there, and I love going up there and just being like, yeah, oh, yeah, Lord, you know, I don't know, and I'm at a loss for, like, even just that, I will lift my voice. Like, recently, a couple years ago, Psalm 92 says, it is good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, almost high, right? What a great scripture. So I would go up in that booth, up in the elevator room where no one can hear me, and just like, Psalm 92, let's try that. Yeah, Psalm 92, if you have that. It is good to praise you, Lord. Make music to your name, O Most High. It is good to praise you, Lord. Make music to your name, O Most High, O Most High. And I wasn't like trying to write a song. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm not trying to write a song. I'm just trying to like, I'm just trying to emote from my soul and just take the words of Scripture and just like, oh, it is good, yeah, to praise you, Lord, yeah. You know what I mean? Just it feels good that sometimes, that's why the Bible says, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Because he doesn't want us to be always super composed and quiet and polite. There's sometimes where we need to be like, yeah, oh yeah, shout to the Lord, all the earth, yeah. Sorry, you know what I mean? Sorry, not sorry, sorry, not sorry. So wherever you can do that and not be self-conscious and worry about your neighbor, but just like in your car or just sometimes even when I'm walking down Hudson a little bit, going on my walk or a bike, I look around. If no one's like in front or behind me, I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, Jesus. You know, and I'm just sort of open my mouth and let that come out. But anyway, so Psalm 92 ended up becoming a song we recorded on our last project. And it's just verbatim scripture, because it's verse 2 then. So it all starts like this. And you can copy this. So you're just reading scripture. If you have an instrument in your hand, or if maybe you have a piano at home, you don't even play, but just find out where middle C is. Da 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 da. Okay, da da da. And that's it. Now you have a key center, and you go, it is good to praise you, Lord. La 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 la. You know, you've got all those notes you can use. Ah, da 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 da. So anyway, this one was, it is good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High. Try it. It is good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High, O Most High. Anyway, it ends with the B section, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Let's repeat that. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. It is good to praise you, Lord, oh Most High. Anyway, that idea of just simply singing scripture, man. That's what I encourage worship, especially if you're on a worship team. You just got to do this. You got to practice it. Practice. There was a book years ago, I love it, a little tiny book called Practicing the Presence of God by a monk, Brother Lawrence. And that's just like, man, it'll take you 10 minutes to read it, but a lifetime to live it out. And another quick an example, Psalm 90, what was it? Psalm 65. I'm just noodling around on the guitar in the key of B flat, just going on. I'm just reading scripture with a guitar in my hand, and just read this Psalm 65, verse 8. It says, "And as the morning dawns and evening fades, you bring forth songs of praise." I don't know, can we get that 65, verse 8? Let's see, yeah, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades. Next verse, and you call forth songs of joy. So right there, I just stopped in the tracks and thought, yeah, that sounds like, sounds like the beginning of a song. Like, as morning dawns, and evening fades. Lord, it's another way of saying that. You inspire songs of praise. Da 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 da. You know, I glorify your name. Yeah. So it was just like a little verse idea that came out, thinking, your name. And then right then and there thinking, what else? Your name, Proverbs 18, is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Your name. I want to be cheeky and go change the lyric if when it says, every nation sing it louder. Every nation church sing it louder. So let's put that verse there one time. We'll just sing that, and you may or may not know that song, but as morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart.
and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, every nation sing it louder. 'Cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, your name.
Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today.
Jesus, in your name we pray, come Lord, come and fill our hearts today.
Give us strength.
Give us strength to live for you and glorify your name.
Amen. We glorify your name, Lord. We bless your name. We honor your name. God, we pray. You said one of the things you loved about David is his heart is after you. God, we want a heart like David, whose heart is constantly, constantly seeking after you, seeking to know you more, Lord. We just pray you would dig a deep well in our hearts. Dig a deeper well in our hearts that when we praise you, that it would come up from a deep place because we've spent time with you. We've spent time in your word. Your word is now in us, and we want to sing and pray your word back to you. And anyway, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to close here. Yeah, the team, come on up. So how does this apply? It says in Ephesians, it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know that verse? So wouldn't that be interesting? Instead of just reading the psalms this week, would you try that? Would you just, as you read, just kind of put a single melody to it, even if you think it's kind of boring. Just try to put a melody, you know. Psalm 27, one thing I ask, one thing I seek is to behold the beauty of the Lord. So one thing I ask, one thing I seek, to behold the beauty. You can break out and try two notes. But Lord, we just pray for your heart, that give us a heart. Give us your heart and give us that heart that David had to bless you and honor you and make you famous, and that we would tell this generation, this little bit of time that we have left on this earth, that we would tell others of who you are, the things you've done, the things you've promised to do. And we just pray you give us a holy boldness and a love and a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit to share the love and truth of Jesus to others in this city. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.